I've been gone a couple weeks. I was off on a surf trip in Nicaragua, and I had a really great time. But there's a couple things that I learned. One, nothing like a perfect wave to show you how bad you really are at surfing. So I learned that. But I also learned that I'd rather be standing here with you behind this pulpit than I've been surfing any wave. And in any of the, I missed you guys. I studied in between surf sessions. And, I realized that this is my calling. Like I would rather be here with you than anywhere else. So I know it's a little ironic that, you know, so we have an assignment this month. We're doing thankful, right? Joe did thankful in the desert, thankful on the mountaintops. Well, my assignment is thankful in the valley. And I know it's a little ironic because I just got back from a little mountaintop experience like surfing in Nicaragua, but we all know that, you know, valley experiences, trials, either we're in one right now, we just came out of one, or about to go into one, you know, and if we really are honest with ourselves, we always got something going on. So it'll be good. This is going to be good. I'm excited. So thankful in the valley. Praises from the valley again. Oh, how I've had to grow in you in so many ways. Refine and refresh me. Sanctify and change me so I can be more, so I can be so much more. A young Christian man wrote those lyrics a long time ago, not knowing how prophetic it would be in his own life. Songs named The Valley, the band Call to Glory. The young Christian man was me. I had no idea what kind of future lay ahead. I just knew God was real. In his triune being, his word was just starting to make sense to me. And chains began to fall off me as the word renewed my mind. My life, like yours, has been a series of desert, mountaintop, and valley experiences, all happening simultaneously. Today, I would like to talk about our perspective in the valley. How do I stay thankful in the valley? How long do I have to walk through? Have I set up camp and quit walking altogether? What exactly is the valley? Listen, the valley is our testing ground. The valley is the testing ground of our faith, church. True, genuine faith has been tested, tried, and shown to be true. There's no YouTube channel. There's no cheat code. Faith rides. I think you know what I'm talking about. No matter where you are in your walk, I want you to take heed to the scriptures that we study today. And even though I'm going to be bouncing around, I chose to camp out in James chapter 1. We're going to focus on that. And we're going to look at the epistle from James. And it was written around AD 50 to the Jewish believers that had been scattered after Stephen's stoning and death. We can safely conclude that they were experiencing a valley or trial type of life. I mean, it was a hard time to be a Christian, a professing Christian, and a Jew. They were persecuted. But James, James writes this letter to the church, and it's to the church. And it's for his fellow Christ followers to have the right perspective in the valley. And James is Jesus' half-brother. It's not the apostle James. This is the half-brother of Jesus that wrote this letter. We'll start in verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, I want you to notice that I didn't say, count it all joy, my brothers, if you meet trials of various kinds. It says when. There's a guarantee in this. And see, count it all joy. Sounds really easy. It sounds cliche. One day at a time. Easy does it. Count it all joy. Right? God is good. These little phrases that sound like little, you know, little catchphrases are so powerful. So very, very powerful. But this is not a natural response to trials. To count it all joy? Well, that's a supernatural response. And so let's look at these words. And I love using, the reason why I preach like I preach is I love using the ESV version of the Bible. I might stand for extra saved version. I don't know. But I love using this particular version because it causes me to dig. The words that it uses, I'm like, ooh, that's an interesting word, and I dig deeper. So we end up hitting the same nail three times. Where we would have just hit it once, we hit it three times. So that's why I do what I do. So the word count here is hegeomai. Hegeomai, yeah, hegeomai, whatever. And it is to lead, guide, regard, understand, consider. So it is to... it's to really contemplate. It is to mull over, you know, figure out, think about, you know, distinctly. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And then the word meet there, because it sounds like when you meet trials, like, hi, trial. My name is Jonesy. Can we be friends? But the word meet here is parapito. To fall into the hands of, to be attacked, sucker punched, blindsided. So count it all joy when you're blindsided and sucker punched by trials. The word trials here is parosmos. And it means test or severe testing or temptation. And that's one we're going to hit on today. Because things happen to us from the outside in. But don't forget that things happen to us from the inside out. And the word for various is the same word that they used for Joseph's coat. Various, many kinds, many shapes and sizes, all different kinds of trials are going to come at you. Little ones, like the guy that drives slow in the fast lane, all the way to death of somebody you really, really love. It covers them all. Count it all joy when you get sucker punched by severe testing and temptation of many, many kinds and various forms. You see, we are to take what happens to us. And it's, listen, when I'm going to preach today under the anointing of eternity. It's my job to get us out of the natural and the micro and into the macro too. We can micro, but we're going to macro together. And I'm not discounting any of your pain. I promise you. I promise you, I've prayed about this. I've mulled this over, and I consider every word that I say, but we must not. We are not victims. We are children of God. And he has a purpose and a plan. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's sovereign over everything, and he's wrote the story. He created it all. So we must come from that perspective today. Paul tells us in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." This is the scriptures that we hang on to when we're going through it. It changes our perspective from this is happening to me to this is happening for me. God is allowing this in my life, and God doesn't, he's not some mean kid with a magnifying glass going, "It's your turn." He's not. But sin has entered this world. Man in his own pride made his choice, and we're all paying the price for that. Even though Jesus Christ died and we're forgiven and we're positionally saved, we are having to go through this life. We are having to experience pain, and we are dying every day. We will pass from this life to the next. We are to consider our trials not worth comparing to what it's going to be like when we're with him. Knowing that this is temporary. Again, I'm not taking anything away of what they did to you or what they said about you or how major this thing is going on. Health issues, it's scary. I get it. But there is eternity with Christ that is sure in your life. And it should give you a confidence of, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you are with me, Lord. Philippians 1:29, Paul says this again, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." What do you think that means? Jesus Christ died to give us a door to enter into eternity, to have a relationship with the Holy One, the perfect one. He had bridged the gap for us. So now we have been granted. Before the foundation of the world, God chose us and he granted us. It was him. You didn't find God. It was him moving on your heart that regenerated your heart to make you go, "Abba, Father. Ah, life." Dead people can't raise themselves. It was granted to you and I to be able to step into the life of Christ so we will suffer for his sake. Now, what does that mean? You will suffer when you choose obedience over your flesh. When you choose to obey the word rather than what you want or what you think you deserve or your ideas. But you go, "No, but you said this. You told me to pray for my enemies. You told me to go to them when I have a problem with them and make it right. Not hold it and resent them and talk to other people about it." That's hard. I have to die to go do this in love. It's painful. It's painful to give up porn if you're lonely. Right? Don't anybody nod their head. I know I gotcha. It's hard. It's painful. It's painful to be in a relationship and it feel one-sided. It's painful. What do? You do like anybody else. Whatever humans do when they're hurt. Or they run. Or you obey. In 1 Peter, he tells us in chapter 4, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. As though something strange were happening to you." Why, God, what? "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." This is a promise. This is a promise. And by the way, you're allowed to have feelings. God gave them to us. When you get punched in the face, it hurts. You can say, ow. You can hold your nose. I need a minute. You know what I mean? I can't feel you right now. I can't. But I trust you. I trust you, but I am, my bell is ringing. You're allowed to be there. Don't stay there. That's why you hop into your word. You hop into fellowship with other believers. Go, no, man, God's got you. It's all right. It's all right. It might look dark right now, but the morning is coming, my brother. Morning is coming, my sister. God is faithful. That sustains us. Because it's a natural reaction to trials, to get angry, fight back, resent, all the things we do, all the things we do. But here, James, Peter, Paul are driving home to the church. Your perspective is everything in the valley, church. Your perspective is everything. You're allowed to be human, but don't stay there, baby. Catch yourself. Oh, whoa. I repent, Lord. Let me get into solution now. Let me just abide in your word, Lord. God permitted your journey through the valley. So the path has already been mapped out. Your relationships, your circumstances, your thoughts, your dreams, it's all been mapped out. God knows every single one of those that I mentioned. The road is narrow. It's painful. It's healing. It's convicting. And it's cleansing. Ultimately, the valley is sanctifying us, making us holy like him. The whole purpose for the valley, the whole purpose in dealing with sin. And like I said, God's not up there going, God does what he wants. And I truly believe that God does send certain circumstances into our life to move us, to change us, to shave off ego and pride. I do believe he sends trials, but he is not purposely picking on us, trying to make us hurt. He loves us. And if he allows something into our life, it is to hone us and shave us. Trust me, if nothing else, to build your faith in his faithfulness, not your faithfulness. His. Because he knows you'll be in and out, up and down. I'm in. Where are you? I'm in. What's up? I'm in. Are you going to fix her or what? Right? See, my eyes are off him and on. Can't do that. He's working. He's busy working, and he's not in a hurry because he's perfect, and he'll do nothing too soon and nothing too late. So let's continue. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So let's first of all, we see that faith produces. There's production. Things are happening, building, growing. Forward movement produces life. Faith brings life. So let's look at the word for testing here. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The word for testing here is dokimion. Dokimion, which means tested by fire. It's not just a test, it is tested by fire. And I think you've heard this before, but the people who make metal, I think it's gold, they heat it up until all the impurities come off, and then they wipe the impurities away. And they heat it up again, and they wipe the impurities away. And they heat it up until the one who's making the gold can see his reflection. When it's clean enough that he can see his reflection, he's done. That's exactly what God does with our testing. But that's what that word means, tested by fire. Proven genuineness. Proven genuine faith. And you don't want some weak faith. Thank you, Lord, you just saved me from saying a cuss word. Woo-hoo! That was close. You don't want weak faith. Steadfastness is hypomone. Just means patient endurance. Perseverance. Standing firm. And I mean, let me tell you something. You want to be free? You want to be free? When people, places, and things cannot rock your faith. And I'm not, like I said, we're allowed to have our bell rung. But when you can have your bell rung and know you ain't going nowhere, I'm following Christ. I know God's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He is the way to God. I know that this, I might be down now, but I ain't out. I know God's going to, I mean, there's a difference. Steadfastness that comes from that, you don't get that. I can't Google it. I can't buy it from you. I can't charge it on my card. You know what I mean? I can't go to NutriShop and drink a bunch of, I can't do steroids. This comes from walking with God through the fire. The only way produces the most firm, genuine, tough faith that my brothers and sisters, you want. It's because you've seen, and it's only because you've seen him faithful. It's only because you actually, in the midst of it, and I'm not saying you can't call your friends and talk about it to them, but you went to the throne instead of the phone. You know, you've been praying, you've been reading. And listen, there are areas of my life where I am still waiting on an answer. I'm waiting with hope. Every time we go through a trial, it shows us the strength and the weakness of our faith. It shows us where we're weak emotionally, childhood trauma that hasn't been dealt with, all that stuff that comes into play. And guess what triggers it? Relationships. I would say relationships is the biggest part of the valley. our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with others, and our relationship with God. It's a learning thing, and we must go through it together to learn. To learn what I need to work on, and to learn my faith is getting strong. Since I've been abiding in the Word, since I quit watching TV, and I started studying the Word, and I still listen to other music, but if it's my choice, I listen to worship. Since I've been really focusing my time, my extra time, where am I going to put it? What do I do? Into the Word, into God, into seeking Him? Man, my faith has grown. Talk about steadfast. It's changed my perception in the valley, and I'm telling you, there are things that I've been waiting on for decades. Relationships that I've been waiting on. But the more that I pour myself into the Scriptures and allow the Scriptures to cut me away, I'm sustained. I have hope. I have faith in Him, not me, Him. What I can do and what I pray for, well, I'll get to that. The valley is meant to bring us closer to God through the reading, meditation, and execution of the Scriptures. And if you don't read the Bible at home, I want you to. Not because you got to do what I got to do to get what I get. It ain't like that. You will not know God unless you know the Word. Jesus is the Word incarnate. Not one of the words written down in the Bible was not inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why it lasted thousands of years and still speaks to us today. So alive. You need it to understand it, because when you understand the truth, when you know the truth, it sets you free. Sets you free. Sets you free from the fear of death. Sets you free from the fear of the things that go on in this life. Because the Word of God gives you an eternal perspective, even on the natural. There is an eternal perspective that gives us an edge. When you're not afraid to die because you know God holds your breath in your hands, you'll do some crazy things for Him, man. It's awesome. It's awesome not being scared of people, places, and things. Why? Because He's ordained my life. When He's ready for me to come home, He'll say, okay, last breath. Come on, Jonesy. And yay. Not oh. Yay. Amen. That's the Word. That's the Word. There's a time in my life where I was afraid. There's a time in my life as a Christian I was afraid to die. So that doesn't make you weird. It makes you normal. It's supernatural not to be afraid to die. It's supernatural. And if you're still afraid to die, just keep seeking God. Keep seeking the Scriptures. You won't be. Eventually you won't be. It's supernatural though. So none of us are better than anybody else. It's just understanding the Word. That's all. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 4, James chapter 1. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Fully mature. Steadfastness. Holding on to God. Crying together. Praying together. Getting through it together. Scraping up money together. To get by together. Whatever we got to do together. But we're both in the Word together and separate. We're both in prayer together and separate. We're both soaking ourselves in the truth. In the truth. It means we're not lacking anything spiritually mature. Lacking in nothing spiritually. Why? because God lacks nothing. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm being obedient in His Word, then I lack nothing. I lack nothing to get done what God wants to get done. All things are possible with God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is a true scripture for His beloved. It's true. Do you believe it? Really? Do you believe it? I believe that's a growing process for all of us. Romans 5 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, your suffering isn't in vain. When you're going through it, man, you're allowed to go, man, this sucks. Man, this hurts. Man, this is hard. But God, I ask that you would give me eyes to see you and ears to hear you through this. God, I pray that what comes out of me would represent what I do with you in my private time. That you would come out of me, not me, you. And that will produce endurance in my life. I won't be thrown by everything that happens to me and things going awry. I will know that you're true because I've tried it. I've tried you, God, and you've shown yourself faithful. And that produces character, which I'm telling you, your anointing will take you places, but your character will keep you there. You don't have good character, you don't have much. And that character produces hope. It's the hope of God. It's when people see us, it gives them hope. And when we have made it through this process, we are filled with hope because it's been produced. It's been produced by the character and the endurance that the suffering produced. So how do I make it through the valley as fast as possible? What do I do? What are my next moves? James tells us in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generally to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. I used to pray, God, fix this. God, fix that. God, help me with this. God, help me with that. And I'm not saying you can't ask God for things. Ask Him. Ask Him. But I've changed my prayers to give me wisdom. I just want your wisdom. Going through this, I want, because wisdom is applied knowledge. It's the knowledge of God applied to my life. Is wisdom. Give me wisdom. Because I know everything will work out one way or another. I just want wisdom, God, so I can learn what I need to learn. I can get rid of the Jonesy that you wanted, the part of Jonesy you wanted to die on the cross. I pray that that would be crucified today. And that I would learn what you want me to learn, God, that I would become more holy like you. Even if it's just to learn how to be sinned on, to be sinned against, and to love back. In a supernatural way, not to return hate for hate for once. Not to resent somebody because they said something about me or ran me over or got into my lane, whatever. You know, we're to love each other. Grace. We're all broken. And it takes wisdom. It takes wisdom to do supernatural things with a supernatural God. It says reproach. God gives us generally without reproach. It means he doesn't heap insults. Oh, you're back again? Jonesy, you ask me for wisdom every day, dude. Don't you believe me? And it's like, yeah, God, I believe you, but I'm asking. Every day I need your wisdom. Every day. And he doesn't go. He won't ever shame you for that. Never. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus is not a liar. Ask, seek, knock. Do you see how it gets more aggressive each time? You see, I think we're just asking. Heal my marriage. Heal me. Send me somebody, Lord. Whatever your prayers are. But are you seeking him in that? Are you digging through the scriptures, looking for him in that to give you the faith and the hope to withstand? And then are you knocking constantly on the door? God, I thank you. I thank you for answering my prayers. I haven't seen it yet, but I know you're at work. God, allow me. If it's somebody I'm waiting on, then make me the person that would bless them first. Work on me. Work on me through this. Change me. Aggressively seek him with faith that what you're asking for, he is willing and he will give it and it is coming. You pray like that? I want you to. I want you to from now on. Be aggressive with God. He's cool with it. He loves it. It's faith. I believe you. I'm back again and I believe you. Fill me. Give me wisdom. Verse 5 in James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Meaning, he's in, he's out. I've been this guy. I have prayed for my marriage like this before. God, heal my marriage, but... And I remember the day, I'm going to share this with you. I was on my way to church one morning. And I just started praying and I was just about to start complaining about my wife to God again. And I go, God, I was going to say something like, I know you can heal my marriage. You know what I mean? Like, I know, I have faith you can heal my marriage. But the Holy Spirit got me, man. And before I opened my mouth, I said, all it came out was, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that I doubted you. I doubted you. I've been praying, not really believing you were going to do anything. And I'm sorry. I know you're going to do something. And ever since that day, I'm telling you, there's been other things. My marriage is killer. But my wife and I have done a lot of work. You know, and it's been, this has been my journey in the valley. You know, my wife and I, we gave our testimony up here like 15 years ago. Some of you guys might have been here, but a lot of you weren't. We come from total dysfunction. I mean, man, you think you're, you know, you think you've been in some crazy relationships. This is a crazy relationship, but totally ordained by God. And my wife and I have been on this journey, and it's been prayerfully waiting for each other to not be so freaking selfish. My wife and I, we are a couple of the most selfish. I mean, starting out, you know, 20 years ago, selfish beyond. And God has been chipping and chipping and chipping. And I am so blessed to tell you that my wife and I are still on journey because we're still alive. But we are more intimate in the sense of getting to be who we are without being afraid. And the other one accepting each other. Like, it's never been better. Yeah. Wow. That's what I say every day. Every day. Wow. You know? But I pour myself into the scriptures. I even started reading the scriptures with my wife. Where we're going through a commentary on Ephesians together. And we read a little bit in the mornings and then we pray together. Something we never did. We just never did it. But it's been a valley experience. I've had really bad seasons. Lonely ones. So is she. God, when's she gonna fix this guy? When's he gonna quit yelling at me? I'm a passionate guy, right? Dark side? I don't like to be hurt. I don't like getting my feelings hurt. What happened? Oh.
Sorry. That mic fell off.
Yeah. It's because I'm aggressive.
It's called aggressive preaching. So do I get more minutes on the clock then?
You can have all the minutes you want, I guess.
Thanks, brother. Sorry for the people online. Okay, then. All right. In James verse 12, it says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed means you've got the favor of God. You're right with God. You've got his favor on your life. He's pleased with you. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Now, yes, that is eternal life. That is, and here's the macro. Your life, my life, is one big valley. I lovingly tell you, we all live in the belly of the beast, and we're walking through it. We're walking one long valley of learning until we reach that mountaintop of glory with Jesus. But it's all right. There's so much beauty in the valley. There's so much beauty in the valley of death, because death to self means resurrection in Christ. And that is never a bad thing. Never, ever, ever is it a bad thing for us to die, because we live. Even physically dead here on earth, you're alive in Christ. There is nothing better. But while we are here on earth, we are to die to ourselves. We're to lay down our lives to be obedient to Christ. We lay down our lives, then that means we're dying to self. I'm dying to my rights. I'm dying to my wants, my lusts, all that stuff. I'm dying to myself so that I can be obedient to Christ. I know God's word will take care of me. God's word doesn't make me a victim. I'm not a doormat that people walk all over if I'm soaking in God's word. I've got boundaries, baby. I'm a child of God. I love you, and I'll be kind and gentle, but I'm not going to let you, you know, just do whatever you want to me. I'll put space. I can do it in love. But when we experience that, and it's the little things, guys, the little things, it's the big things. You know, when I looked at my wife one day, I literally said these words. I said, I am so sick of you and I being so selfish. And she said, well, stop then. I said, I'm gonna today. And we changed. It's the trippiest thing, but we both like little things like getting her a towel, you know, like when the cleaning lady comes, she takes both towels and she does all the laundry and stuff. And like, so I put two towels there, not just mine, two towels, things like that, little things. I've only got a couple minutes left. But it's the temptations that are going to be, I think, the most, come up the most with us. The temptation to fall back into what we feel we have a right to, which is our human nature, our natural responses. It's going to be a temptation to respond like that. But I want you to remember today. I want you to remember James and the letter that he wrote, these Christians that were definitely persecuted. And he said, count it all joy, brothers and sisters. Your trial is making you holy. Your destination is sure. You are sure in Christ. Be a blessing. Have faith. Let him do his work in you. Let this trial, you know, hone you, because it will give you superpowers. Seriously, the Holy Spirit's gifts are superpowers. To be able to speak knowledge into somebody's life, to be able to lay hands on somebody, pray for them and heal them, that's a superpower. To be able to prophesy and speak life over somebody, that's not going to happen. This is going to happen. That's superpowers. And you only get him when you die. You got to trade your life for his. I don't get to do Jonesy what Jonesy wants to do and get that. I need to be obedient to his word. I need to sacrifice what I think is right to do what is right. To be love, right? To not just resent my wife and do whatever I want and go this way in ministry. No, I need to read with her, bring her in. Love God with her. Seek God with her at whatever pace she wants to. That's a good husband. That's love. Jesus would do that. Jesus would sit with her and read slowly. Sure would. I'm going to read this. Psalm 23, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. That's a psalm, and it inspired me to write. I wrote a psalm, and it totally, I ripped it off from Psalm 23, so I'm not, but I want to read it to you. And it's a prayer psalm. Even though I walk through the unknown, I will fear not. Your presence is my provision. The conviction of your word comforts me as it slays me. You have made room for me to fellowship with you through the sacrifice of your perfect Son and my Lord Jesus Christ. Your grace, O God, is like an unstoppable river of life, light, and love. It washes over me and heals me as my sin is brought before me. And as my sin is brought before me, I do not fear it. I own it. As I repent, I bask in the glory of your holiness, forgiveness, and magnificent splendor. The demonic powers assigned to destroy me are forced to sit and watch as your Holy Spirit fills, covers, and guides me into all truth and holy sanctification. You have blessed my life beyond measure, and because of your unwavering faithfulness and love, O Lord, your goodness and mercy shall be in front, behind, and beside me for eternity. And I will be found in an atmosphere of worship and fellowship with you, O Lord, my first love forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word that's so very encouraging. God, you're making a tough church that are gentle and kind and loving, but not afraid. Let this scripture sink into our hearts and create warriors, prayer warriors, warriors of love and life and light, God. I speak that over your church. I pray it over your people. May you fill them today with the power of love and kindness and forgiveness, God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. There is no other like you. And we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys.